Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. You may never have listened to this other radio station, or maybe you did, East Village Radio. Here is a little of what it sounded like just minutes ago as some hosts were talking on the station's final day.
But most importantly, thank you guys for listening to us every week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whether you're in Dublin or Detroit, Tokyo, I don't think we have any listeners in Tokyo.
I'm sure we do.
So yeah, we've got a couple of more minutes. Any other memories of the past?
So a few seconds of Andrew Sound, which is their Friday morning show. And maybe you're one of the, we've heard, million or so people who tune into East Village Radio online each month. It's okay. You're allowed to listen to other radio stations, by the way. Or maybe you're one of the, hundreds of thousands who walk past EVR Studio Space on First Avenue, just north of First Street. Now you know what we're talking about. So earlier this month, East Village Radio announced that it is going off the air after 11 years, and today is the last day. So here to talk about the end of East Village Radio's run and what it says about both the changing neighborhood and the economics of online music, because they are both in play here, are Peter Ferraro, general manager of EVR, and Frank Prisanzano, founder of East Village Radio and neighborhood stalwart. He owns Little Frankie's, Sauce, and other restaurants in the neighborhood. Peter and Frank, welcome to WNYC, and thanks for making time on what I'm sure is a very busy and emotional day.
Yes. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
Frank, want to talk about the origins of the station first? I read that you were, for the briefest amount of time, actually a pirate terrestrial signal, like somewhere down the dial from us on FM, illegally, but then you went online.
Yeah, well, that ended when we got a cease and desist from the FCC. So, $10,000 fine, imprisonment, confiscated equipment, et cetera, et cetera. And coincidentally, I happened to be expanding Little Frankie's. So I came up with the idea, why not put it on the street? You know, just like, you know, do the right thing. Have you seen that movie, American Graffiti, with Wolfgang Jack? So, we thought that would really, would bring a lot of attention and also would connect us so closely to what's happening in the neighborhood.
And I'll just rattle off some of the names of artists who have appeared live on East Village Radio: Drake, Lou Reed, Jimmy Cliff, super producer Mark Ronson was a DJ for you.
Yeah, a long time.
Why did you attract such a following, do you think, as a little neighborhood, almost pirate kind of operation?
I think a lot of it has to do with, having the studio on the street. I mean, pretty much all the DJs have said that it was just a special experience, to literally be there and have people walking by and just come into the booth and not really know what it is. Like in the beginning, people were just confused by it. It was very special.
And listeners, do you have a connection to East Village Radio? Are you a listener or maybe a one-time DJ? Got a favorite East Village Radio story you want to share with us as we mark its last day, or want to talk about what it says about the changing neighborhood? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Peter, a lot of people are probably hearing this now and thinking, well, wait, there are a gazillion online radio stations and podcasts and everything. Why are economics driving you off the air?
There's a number of factors, Brian. I mean, part of which is the increasing costs in internet and licensing. We operated on a shoestring. It was a lot of passion, 7 days a week. We had to be there. I mean, look at WNYC. Well, I mean, this is a much bigger operation, but we really treated ourselves like a radio station. Internet radio is the redheaded stepchild of radio, if you will, of the media world, and we took it very seriously and worked really hard at it.
What were you trying to do that didn't exist on the radio as it is, or on other internet stations, that you felt you were filling a hole for?
I mean, I think that, choosing programming that was very eclectic. I mean, we're multi-platform. So, we weren't like, Frank and I growing up listening to WPLJ or WNEW and being an AOR rock radio station. We offered programming in a number of different genres. And I think that choosing, in many cases, the top person in that genre to present that, not playlist them, and then program it mostly for New York, but so that the rest of the world would you know, want to be a part of it. I think what we did was very unique in that sense in a lot of ways.
And I gather there was a huge foreign audience for your station.
Yes. A lot of UK listeners. But one of the things, Brian, that we did – and, you know, look, radio in the UK is really good. And I think radio in the UK is better than it is here. So we pointed right at the UK and we said if the UK audience pays attention to us – we're doing something right because the UK knows good radio. So when you look at Rinse FM and you look at even Six Music and what was going on, we really modeled ourselves in a lot of ways after that.
These eclectic online stream radio stations.
Absolutely.
Danny on the Upper West Side. You're on WNYC. Hello, Danny.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I've been a volunteer on EBR for a couple of years with John Oliver. His show is on Monday night. And our last show this week was so special. We had people stopping by, tweeting us to let us know how much they're going to miss EBR. And I just have a question for the GM. I'm just wondering, would you be willing or able to sort of put a temporary landing page on the website sort of telling where to find the DJs and the song selectors for the next week? Because a lot of these folks are going to be doing their own things from here on out, and it would be great for the regular listeners who haven't heard about EBR closing yet to know exactly where they're going.
That's a great point, and I'm glad to be able to address that. We have, via social media, been letting people know, starting today, where everyone is going. In fact, we learned that the Ragged Phonograph program is going to be on WFMU, and we have a hardcore punk show that is going to be on Stony Brook. We are going to put a splash page up. We are going to provide information for listeners as to follow EVR DJs individually for where they're going. We feel that there are going to be a number of those folks that took what we did seriously as we did that will find homes for great programming that they provided. Thank you.
Danny, I'm glad you asked that question so other people can follow up with that content as much as they can.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And I read, Frank, that the more listeners the station acquired, the more it had to pay in fees. Yeah. Quote, this is counter – I'm just reading from our comments page, actually. Gene posting – he said that. I read that the more listeners they acquired, the more they had to pay in fees. That is counterproductive beyond words. So is that true? Is that the way it works? Is that a catch-22 of internet radio? The more popular you are, the harder it is to stay in business?
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. I mean, we pay a royalty fee. What was the royalty
fee? Brian, we pay 23 cents per 100 listeners.
Per 100 listeners.
There's a new CRB, the Copyright Royalty Board, coming up, and the pendulum is swinging away from us. The thing that we – I mean, I think I understand why this has happened because so many people have operated internet radio stations illegally. There's thousands of them. And when you look at the rights holders, they don't know how to collect on this stuff, and they should be paid. You know, we were very diligent about paying Sound Exchange and ASCAP and BMI and CSAC. It was really important for us. So the fact that we pay as part of the statutory license, you know, more than Pandora pays. Now, I'm hoping that it's not whereby – I hope we made a statement and that – the music industry, the powers that be will take a look at what we did and really say, wow, this is wrong. We need to fix this because there are responsible radio stations out there like EVR that were trying to do the right thing for the artists.
So is it the no DJ services like Pandora and Spotify that are the competition?
We don't look at that. No. You know, Pandora is not a radio station. They've called themselves a radio station for just for that.
It's
for
an
the
algorithm.
Copyright. For, yeah. So,
it's an algorithm.
You know, we were doing something. Frank and I grew up, like I said earlier, listening to great FM radio here in the New York area, man. We bought albums that we heard, you know, DJs in New York tell us to buy.
That's how we found our music. You know?
Yeah.
That's how we
and we essentially what we were doing was it was an FM model. As an internet radio station, we were doing ticket giveaways. We were, you know, if an artist came on as a guest, we would tell you, go buy their record, not go listen to it on Spotify.
In my early days, and I was always doing both news and music in my years out of college, so I was always interested in the issues, but I had a DJ show on the sort of Albany equivalent of the old NEWFM, WQBK FM.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was DJ as artist.
Right.
Yes.
We had no playlist.
Yeah.
I look back at my old playlist that I made myself, and I was playing about a third jazz on what was an FM rock station, and we were playing country music, flat and Scruggs, all kinds of
stuff.
We love
that. We love that.
You know, it is, you know, free form, if you will. You know, they call it, but we weren't as free form because when we programmed the station, we knew that there was going to be someone, a hip hop show was coming up, or it was going to be a hardcore punk show. So some of the more eclectic folks did deviate and bounce around from genre to genre, but it was really important that if you did something in a specific genre, that you did it well and you understood the music and the culture of that particular genre.
The consultants eventually came in, and so there was no such format, or I should say non-format, on commercial radio anymore.
Right.
So it fell to internet streams. Right. And stations like FMU.
Yes.
It's only natural, Frank, but people are grouping this news as further evidence of the gentrification of the East Village and downtown Manhattan losing its sort of punk or alternative flavor. Do you see it that way?
Not really. I mean, look, this is my neighborhood. I love it, you know. Yeah, has it become a little bit gentrified? Of course. But all neighborhoods that are cool eventually are going to, you know, be coming up against that because more and more people are going to be wanting, you know, to live there. But I feel like, you know, what we've done with EVR obviously has, you know, been trying to preserve what was cool about the area, okay? And I continue to, you know, to keep doing whatever I can, you know, to keep preserving it. And there are a lot of people doing that. So, you know, I still think it's one of the most vibrant neighborhoods in the world, period. So, obviously, I put a lot of my efforts into it. So, I still believe in it.
You know, earlier this week, I'm not sure if you saw it, but we discussed this 1976
list. I listened.
List.
It was great.
It was really fun to talk about it. And the list is 101 things to love about New York City that someone recently unearthed from an old New York Times article from 76. And number one on that list of things to love about New York City at that time was, quote, being nostalgic about things in New York City that were never that great.
Right, exactly.
So, of course, that applies to today, too. But how do you square nostalgia for the punk rock days of the East Village with, say, the fact that it wasn't as safe, wasn't as clean, much higher rates of poverty?
Yeah, well, you know, this is what gentrification is. I mean, you know, everything gets cleaned up, which, you know, people complain about because they're going to have to pay more money in rent. You know, I mean, but that's reality.
Brian, one of the things that we are most proud of at East Village Radio is that we flew the flag for what punk was in the neighborhood. If it wasn't for the New York Dolls, if it wasn't for what came before us, we wouldn't have existed. When you say the words East Village Radio, it packed such a punch. And that is what we did. You know, CBGB went away and we had such a responsibility to the neighborhood. And I think that that's why a lot of the local East Villagers are really freaking out because they respected that we would have Richard Hell on, we'd have Lou Reed on, we did Johnny Thunders, we produced the Johnny Thunders birthday special on a milestone birthday. We produced a lot of specials that had to do with what went on in the neighborhood.
Bill in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bill.
Yeah, how's it going? I just want to say, I want to thank you guys for playing Unknown Bands. You know, I mean, it's a shame to see you go because that many of the stations will, you know, give us a shot. So it's a shame to see that, you know, there's another one gone. You know what I mean?
Bill, thank you.
Well, that's something we were also very proud of. You didn't have to have a record label. You didn't have to have a big-time publicist. You know, we've had instances where MNDR walked up to our studio on the street and handed one of the DJs a CD of her music. If you talk to MNDR, she'll tell you that I got my start, you know, that way. It was one of those things where if you walked up to the studio and made friends with the DJ and spoke to them, they would play your music. And we're really hoping, again, in the statement that's being made here, that these big radio companies understand that there needs to be an outlet for these unsigned artists. Because Spotify, you're going to get lost on a Spotify if you upload your music there and you're a nobody.
We have a minute left. I want to get in two quick questions and answers. One, when you have a glass storefront on First Avenue operating 24 hours a day, I'm sure you've seen some pretty interesting stuff looking out. Give me one quick story, either of you.
Oh, yeah, you can do it.
I mean, gosh, there's been, the interesting thing was I didn't do a radio show. I mean, I was running the business, so you'd probably be better served asking the DJs. But, Brian, there were so many crazy – I don't even have a story. It was just over the years it's been so nuts.
I can have a quick one. I mean, some guy was arrested. He was holding a plastic pistol, And like three police cars came up, you know, saw him holding the gun. He was completely drunk, and they, you know, they took him and, you know, succumbed him right there. It was crazy.
The one thing we could say, Brian, is that there is still a lot of flavor in the East Village. So don't any – the gentrification but there's a lot of flavor in the East Village.
And, you know, Baratunde Thurston, friend of show, tweeted, end of EVR, but I refuse to believe there aren't great new things starting up in the East Village.
That's exactly right.
What's going to be the last thing on the air and at what time?
We're playing, we're taking from our listeners on Facebook and on Twitter. We were asking them to tell us what the last song is that we should play. So there's some really interesting.
EVR last song.
Yeah, there's some really cool stuff. And we're going to play a lot of the selections between 8 p.m. and 12 a.m. tonight on the air.
Peter Ferraro and Frank Prisanzano, co-responsible for East Village Radio ending tonight. Frank, good luck with Little Frankies and
Thank
sauce
you,
and everything else.
Thank you,
Thank you Brian. Thank
in.
You very much.
Thanks for having us.